You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into another edition of Locked On Kings. I'm Jason Ross. Thank you for listening. Hopefully this is a regular part of your routine because we're here each and every day, Monday through Friday, the entire Locked On Network. Check out the all of it, really, NFL, Locked On Raiders, Locked On Niners, every team in the NBA, Locked On Fantasy. We're all here each and every day, Monday through Friday. Today on the podcast, we're going to check in with a great Jerry Reynolds will be joining us in just a moment, but want to start you out with some news from Tuesday from the Sacramento Kings. Not a lot of news, but they did make one of their first initial roster moves as they elected to waive Marcus Williams, who played some point guard in the game Monday night against Portland Trail Blazers. They also added a couple of players as well, some players you're obviously very familiar with, one of them being David Stockton, as he is back with the Sacramento Kings. I think it's the third time through that David Stockton has been signed or been on some form of the Sacramento Kings. Spent a lot of time in Reno in the D-League, but they bring... or now the G League, I should say. But so they bring him in. They also added guard Reggie Hearn. So both of those guys played for Reno last season. And again, they waived Marcus Williams, who played in just a couple of preseason games for the Sacramento Kings. All right, let's get caught up on the very latest with the Sacramento Kings with Jerry Reynolds. Of course, Jerry and Grant back at it doing some television work on Monday night when the Kings took on the Portland Trail Blazers, and of course another season ahead coming up next Wednesday when the Kings begin against the Houston Rockets. So Jerry, it's always great to see the guys back at it, but preseason kind of difficult to evaluate this team, and one thing that's happened lately is scoring has been down for the Sacramento Kings. Do you think this is something that we should be concerned about at this point?
I think we need to be a little bit concerned. I'm sure the coaching staff is, because you know, there's no doubt. I mean, they're having trouble scoring the last two games for sure against the Lakers. And then again, last night, the offense definitely was not very consistent. Now, last night, strictly young guys. And you expect that a little bit. But I'm pretty sure these last two games that Coach Yeager will try to get maybe a little bit more of his rotation set to where it'd be, you know, some of the veterans will be playing where they expect to and how much they expect to, and then working the, young guys in. So that should help the offense. At least we got reason to believe that it will help it.
Yeah, and you know, some of the things that you learn in the preseason is what you have. What are some of the strengths, some of the weaknesses? One thing that Coach, besides, you know, we've already addressed scoring a little bit as a concern, Jerry, Coach has brought up rebounding quite a bit, and they have been out-rebounded. That seems like that might be, you know, that was one of the many great gifts DeMarcus Cousins had. Well, you've foregone a double-digit rebounder, and I don't know that they, besides Zach Randolph, have a lot of great rebounders on this team.
I agree. I think that's a real, real concern, and I'm not sure just how that's going to be alleviated. You know, I like a lot of fans, we're hoping that Willie Cauley-Stein could be a 10 to 12 rebound guy, type guy. And I don't know that he is. I mean, he's got to get more consistent. And whoever plays those other minutes, especially at the four, I mean, Scal at times looks like he can rebound, but then at times he really doesn't get them. And so it kind of starts at the power positions and the Kings, I mean, no question, have got to do a better job at four and five if they're going to be a competent rebounding team.
Yeah, and if we look at those spots, the four and the five, where are those minutes being spread out, you think? I mean, it's got to be Zach Randolph in some form. Costa, Coach likes him, and he's a guy that, you know, doesn't hurt you. Willie, Scal, I mean, I don't know if Papayannis gets any run. Where do you kind of see the breakdown of the minutes maybe at the four and the five for this team?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, you would kind of think that, you know, with Zach Randolph and Scal getting pretty much all the minutes at four, and then with Willie, and I think Costa, that's probably at five. Now, I do think that when Costa's going to rebound per minute, and I think that Zach will for their position. So I really think, depending on how the minutes you know, whether it's, I don't know, it'd be 24-24 or anything like that, but I really think that it really comes down to Willie and Scal. I think they have to rebound better. I'm fairly sure that Zach and Costa will kind of do what they've done for years per minute. I think that'll be solid, but the rest of those minutes, you know, you've got to get good solid work from those two young guys.
Another young guy that won't be in the mix, at least at the beginning, the Kings have taken ultra care with Harry Giles. And, you know, I'm kind of excited to see what he can become based on what everybody has said about him, Jerry, but we're going to have to wait. And the Kings are waiting even until January, really, to even give him an opportunity out on the floor. Are they overcautious, or is this, I mean, I don't know. This is an interesting philosophy from the organization with Giles.
Yeah, it is. You know, the good thing about it, I think, is they have a philosophy.
Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, they're, whatever the reasons are, they believe this is the best way to go. And certainly at his age, he's got plenty of years, and you want to give him the best chance possible to have a really good career. So I'm hoping they're right. I mean, it certainly looks like, you know, I'm probably old school. I'm one of those guys that if they're healthy to play, they probably ought to play. But it is different with a young player like that that's been through so many injuries and serious injuries that you want to be absolutely sure. So I definitely think if you're going to err, it should be on the side of caution in this case.
Yeah, and I think your point's a good one too, Jerry, because you know it as well as I do. Years ago when drafting guys like Tyreek or DeMarcus, they were thrown right, and they were great. Those guys came in and played well, but they were asked to come in and be guys right away, and they're already doing it differently with Fox or with Jackson or with Giles, and it's just a much better spot, even if it may not be as many wins as fans want. They're just in a different spot with their philosophy. I think that's healthy.
I do, too. I mean, I thought last year, you know, Vlade's use of the D-League, which is now the G-League, of course, for Scal and Papianis and Malachi Richardson, I thought was terrific. I mean, it's something probably the team probably erred in earlier years. And I think certainly the team made a mistake with Ben McLemore along those lines. I think it would have been served him well to get a little experience down there, you know, for a lot of reasons, mm-hmm. Some confidence and things of that nature. But anyway, I think the, you know, I mean, you can always question a plan, but you first need a plan.
Right.
and I think that Vlade and company, I think they have one, and the coaching staff and everybody's on board. And so it's now a matter of making it work. And of course, Harry Giles would be a real key. You know, obviously he was a late pick. So if they can get out of him what the potential seemed to be before the injuries, well, be a real home run and you know, just make everything really come together. So I think we just got to be patient and be on board.
Well, we talked a little bit about the center spot, the power forward, the five and the four. What about the three? A year ago, Jerry, you guys were talking about guys like Rudy, Matt Barnes, Omri Caspi. They were loaded there. You could move Tolliver down. You could move Temple over. There was a lot of guys that could play the spot. They kind of are in the same position where they have a lot of guys that can do it, but they don't have a Rudy Gay that can get you 20 a night. What do you think they do ultimately at the kind of the distribution of the minutes at the small forward?
I think that's the real issue, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they've got guys that can sort of play there, but obviously Vince Carter 5 years ago probably solved. But, you know, Vince is Vince. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer, but he's not a guy who can play big minutes there anymore. And, you know, Garrett Temple, that's probably, he can play there, but that's not really his position. Justin Jackson, you know, a heck of a nice looking rookie, but he is a rookie and probably a little bit physically weak at this point, even though he's got some really interesting skill set. And so I guess my answer would be I don't have one. I think it's a case where I think Coach Yeager's going to be very creative there. I think at times you might see three guards, you know, to see Bogdanovich or Buddy Hield play some there as well against certain lineups. You could probably get by with it.
Yeah, and that kind of transitions us, I guess, to the two. And though you mentioned Bogdanovich, you mentioned Buddy Hield. I think those guys get the primary minutes there. Maybe George Hill or Fox, if one of them's off the ball. I think there's or Mason. I think there's some versatility there. But is this Buddy Hield's starting spot? Is this Bogdanovich's starting spot? How do you think they go with the two?
Well, it seems like they're leaning toward Buddy at this stage. I mean, Buddy obviously played well at the end of the year and would be the, you know, the veteran coming back into the spot. So, but I do like Bogdanovich, you know, what little I've seen. And now he hasn't really played as well as I think he will. But he's a real basketball player, you know, a guy that seems comfortable with the ball, without the ball. You know, he's got a good credentials of shooting it. I think that'll come. So I think he's going to find a way to play. Now, if they're going to kind of split minutes there or as you said, and I can see George Hill playing quite a bit there with De'Aaron. And I'm not at all sure that that's not your best guard line, to be honest, those two. So again, you know, I think with Coach Ager, I don't know that I've ever seen a team roster that has so many unanswered questions. And I think we're going to be thinking like this and talking like this for 20 games or more, at least, you know, that people like ourselves would, you know, we'll be watching and saying, I wonder if it can try this or do this. And, you know, I know the bloggers, everybody will have an opinion and probably, you know, everybody could be right and wrong at the same time.
Yeah. And you've coached in this league, Jerry, too, obviously, that, you know, you can argue it's a good problem to have. You can argue it's a problem, though, too, where you have, you know, there's not a high level player on this roster as we speak, but there's a lot of good players. And for a coach, you know, you always say you can't play everybody, but you can make a case for almost everybody on this roster to play. So that's really got to be, as much as we all say, this guy should play this guy, but the guy's making the decision, it's going to be tough for Dave Yeager.
It really is. And you know, as you said, you know, good problem to have, bad problem to have. Well, it's a problem. And you do have 10 or 12 guys who are very close in ability. And, of course, what usually that tells you is you're not really good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the honest truth of it, is that you need stars in this league, and that's why I, as a fan, you know, want to see, you know, because I think a Scal Labissiere or De'Aaron Fox, I mean, I think they have star-type ability, potential, and really for the team to, you know, really establish something. You've got to establish something other than a bunch of pretty good players that can play a few minutes here and there, and I think that's kind of the biggest problem going forward for Coach Yeager. And I mean, not that he's not aware of it, but you know, at some point, you got a lot of guys that can play, but you probably have got to be more concerned of saying, okay, now who can be really good, and let's figure out a way to make sure they're really good.
Yeah, and I think that then gets us to our last position, which is the point guard, which I think should be exciting for Kings fans because, you know, they had George Hill, who's coming off his best season, the highest paid guy, and he's got good credentials. De'Aaron Fox, you just talked about him with just this incredible potential of a ceiling where he could go. And then Frank Mason is just a player. He needs to be on the court.
He is, isn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, I have really enjoyed watching him. And the guy's under control. He's strong. He's tough. He's a natural leader. He's an NBA player. How much does he get to play? I don't know. But I think there's got to be minutes for him. And I think there's, you know, there's been starting point guards in this league over the years not as good as Frank Mason.
Hmm. And that's what to me is exciting because of what he can do, what George Hill, whether he's starting or off the ball, and then just the stuff that does pop out at you is watching De'Aaron Fox in person. That the quickness offensively certainly, but quickness defensively too, Jerry. He gets in the passing lane, ball's on the floor, he's going to be the first one to get it. I'm just excited. I think he's tough. I think he's, you know, he's got some flaws certainly, but if he works at it, I think that's the guy that has the potential to be a really good player.
Oh, I do too. I mean, I think they're really, you know, I mean, you don't want to get crazy about these things, but he has star potential, and the Kings need him to, you know, get there. I mean, and that may be more important for the Kings than all this other, you know, stuff we're talking about is for De'Aaron to reach his potential, if in fact he can be an elite player at that position. And I think I'm with you. I think he can. Now, Does he have flaws? Yeah, I think, you know, his shooting just isn't good enough. But boy, oh boy, the things that you can't teach. You can teach shooting. That's a fundamental skill. You can't teach fast.
Right.
and defensively, you know, for a rookie, I mean, his instincts are terrific. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I've seen a rookie come in the league that had, you know, had any better instincts for the game than him. I mean, he's longer and taller than you think he is.
Yeah.
And he's faster and quicker than you think he is. And that bodes well. I think that, you know, we may look back and, you know, on this year, and really that this may be the single most important thing for the franchise to accomplish this year, is to find out if in fact, you can be fairly sure that De'Aaron Fox is going to be an elite point guard in time. And if you've a year from now, if you feel like you're really on track for that, then that alone makes it a pretty good year.
You know, one thing I want to ask you about, because I don't know how to quantify this as important for the team, but when this team, the last couple of years, we know it, it was at times a difficult locker room. DeMarcus was a great player, but sometimes a difficult personality. So that made things sometimes, you know, some struggles internally. By all accounts, Jerry, we're hearing that the veterans are loving the young guys. The young guys are listening. There's a lot of good guys, and that's great. But I don't know what that means in the end. Of course, you'd rather have more talent, but can having a cohesive locker room, does that mean anything? Is that productive at all? Does that mean a few more wins? Is there anything there for that?
I don't think it ever hurts, put it that way.
Yeah.
You know, it never hurts. Does it mean more wins? I think it does. How many? Not very many.
Yeah.
You know, I definitely think it helps. It can't hurt you, and I think it will get you more wins. Is it going to take a potential 25-win team to 50 wins? Of course not.
Right.
It might. I don't know what the number might be, but you know, it's still a talent league, you know, and I've said so many times, I mean, you have a 24-second clock and a 48-minute game, and a lot of possessions, and the more talented players, more talented teams, that works to their advantage. So it's always tough for a lesser talented team to win. And as we've talked many times, the last time a 19- and 20-year-old group of guys won in the NBA was never.
Yeah.
And so you always have to keep that in mind. I'm really on board with this bunch. You know, the coaching staff, the players, the vets, the young guys. It's really neat. I don't know that I've seen it this good ever, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I'm too old to be fooled necessarily. I know that doesn't light up the scoreboard.
No, but then you if you get those developments like we're talking about with Scal or with De'Aaron, and then you still have that same continuity in the locker room, that's when it could really get fun. But that's not happening right away.
No, it's just not going to happen right away, and that's exactly right. And but I mean, the fact that guys are pulling for one another, and you don't see the little pettiness that sometimes, and not saying some of it won't crop itself because everybody wants to play, but that's why this team is so important to develop and to see a guy like De'Aaron Fox and Skyle Labissiere, see these guys really, if they are capable of being upper echelon players, that they get the opportunity to be that.
I want to ask you, away from the Kings, you know, they're not going to be in the mix, I don't think. I mean, I hope they are, but of a team threatening certainly at the top of the Western Conference, does anybody have a legitimate chance of really knocking off the Warriors in the West?
Well, yeah, that's...
Because I think they got better.
I think the answer is yes, somebody does. I mean, the Warriors, probably if they're 100% healthy... there's probably only one team that probably could, and that might be Oklahoma City Thunder, and there's so many, you know, so many ifs, buts there. I mean, at least they have the caliber of talent to probably not be overwhelmed by the Warriors, let's put it that way, which is that in itself. And then in the East, I think the Cavs are a lot better positioned to challenge the Warriors than they were at the start of last year. Their roster's better. And that's not even counting Isaiah, which probably will be January before he joins the fold, which actually could really help them in double because yeah. he'd be fresher and all that, even though they'd be in an adjustment period. So, yeah, I don't think you want to quite give it to the Warriors. I mean, you know, Houston adding Chris mm-hmm. Paul, we don't know how that'll all play out. But, you know, two great players on the same team generally doesn't hurt you.
Right.
And so the West is so tough. I mean, the Warriors, will they get full of themselves? It's possible. You know, as Pat Riley's talked about with many great teams, that sometimes, you know, that's a real issue, that kind of getting satisfied and lose a little bit of the hunger. And
sure.
Guys get going different directions. But, I mean, I would be surprised if that's the case. This Warrior team really does seem to be special in every way. But I mean, when you add Oklahoma City, when you add a Paul George and Carmelo Anthony, to Russell Westbrook, if in fact they can all sacrifice a little of their individuality and pull together, my goodness, that'd be about as hard to guard as the Warriors.
Yeah, and that's the one that's so intriguing to me because of what they added in talent. And, you know, I'm going to go back to, again, you as a coach, where at the end of a game situation, I'm sure you're trying to draw up the best play for your team to succeed. But then we have three guys that have had the ball at the end, probably think they should have the ball at the end, and probably are confident enough to make the shot at the end. I don't know how you do that when likely the ball is going to start in Westbrook's hand. He could pass, but he may not, and I think that leaves Carmelo or Paul George. I could see it as a problem, but also all that talent. I just don't know how Billy Donovan's going to do it.
Yeah, it's going to be. I think there could be issues, you know. And we talked earlier. I think it's a case where, as we recall, you know, the LeBron James, Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade experiment in Miami, for a half year, it really didn't go well.
Right.
You know, then they figured it out. And I would not be surprised to see some of that happening in Oklahoma City as well as Houston. I mean, that's some real adjustments for star type guys that are used to having it their own way. And when they're going to be needing to adjust a little bit to sort it all out, you know, obviously the Miami Heat did that, but it took a while. And I don't really see that as a problem with Cleveland. I mean, you know, they've gotten better differently, in my opinion. But one thing about it is everybody knows who the main man is. That's established. So everybody goes in there knows they have to fit in with LeBron James.
And right.
As you know, any common sense would tell you, that's where it's going to be. So it makes a little more of an easy adjustment, I would say.
Two teams I want to ask you about before we wrap things up. That one is I think ready to make the jump. They have a longer playoff drought than the Kings, and that's Minnesota. Just based on what they added, based on the young guys developing, how much are they jumping though? I mean, they haven't been in the playoffs in a long time, Jerry. But are they jumping into kind of that 8-7 range? Can they get as high as 5 or 4? Or are they not making that full jump yet?
Well, I think this is a really important year for those guys. I mean, for them not to make the playoffs, I think that Coach Thibodeau and ownership would feel like it's a real failure.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you add a Jimmy Butler to the group, Jeff Teague by trade, you know, losing, letting Ricky Rubio move on. I mean, so they've really changed their team. Are they better? I think they'll be better. I don't see them making a huge jump. I mean, I think they can contend for the eighth spot with – you know, I think with Portland and Denver. But to say they're automatically better than those two teams, I'm not quite ready to go there because until they prove they can guard somebody, which is something I thought I'd never say about a Tom Thibodeau
really.
Team. But I'm saying it because even watching them in preseason, that's like, good grief, they're easy to score on.
Yeah. And then the other one is, obviously, Kings fans will always keep their eye on DeMarcus. So we know that's unique. Not a lot of teams can throw out those two talented big men. They have some flaws, too. But a full season of DeMarcus and Anthony Davis in New Orleans, there's a ton of pressure on that organization. But what do you think their season outlook is?
Yeah, you know, it's as great as those two guys are, just great talents. There's no doubt, maybe the two most gifted bigs in the league, you know. And but it's really not a big man league anymore. And I don't really like their supporting cast. So I mean, Will they do better than last year? I'd be surprised if they didn't do quite a bit better. But I'm not sure they're a playoff team. There again, you know, it's like, are they better than Denver, which added a guy, Paul Millsap, who last time I checked is pretty fair hand, and to a team that was already pretty good. And certainly Portland, you know, they're going to be a little better than last year because of Nurkic for the whole season if he stays healthy. Minnesota. So it's going to be a real battle. I guess if, you know, my own opinion is I'd be surprised actually if they made the playoffs.
Wow. Well, I'm glad it's here, though. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to see these storylines play out. I know the Warriors and Cavs go in still as the heavy favorites, but all the guys that moved around and then watching this young Kings team develop, it's going to be a lot of fun. So, Jerry.
It will be fun. Yeah, that's the thing, you know, it'll be more fun because a couple things you just mentioned, you know, I mean, really is a great chemistry with this bunch, and they like each other, they're pull for one another, and you just hope that can translate a little quicker into maybe a few more wins, you know, being able to put on a good show every night. I think they have that capability, you know, just from a selfish standpoint, to me, the most important things. I want to see De'Aaron Fox become a star.
Yeah.
I think he can. Team needs it. Franchise needs it. Skyle LaVisière has a chance to be star, near star, and he needs to take a major step that direction. If a couple of those things happen, be a happy year for a lot of us.
No doubt. Well, Jerry, thanks again, as always, for the time. I know we'll do it again soon, and we'll see you out at the arena very soon.
Yes, you will. Great talking to you, Jason.
Well, my thanks to Jerry Reynolds for joining us today on Locked On Kings. We thank you for listening. We got more episodes coming the rest of the week, and we're back again tomorrow with another edition of Locked On Kings.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. Check it out.